My name's Andy Maley. Thank you for coming. I'm Suncoast Waterkeeper, part of 360 waterkeeper groups worldwide, part of the Waterkeeper Alliance. I have a master's degree in environmental science from Bard College. I'm an author of a book called Polluting for Pleasure that those of you who are boaters may have noticed a change sometime around 1995, 96, and all of a sudden you couldn't buy old dirty two-strokes anymore. And everything converted over to four-stroke engines, so boating was actually fun and clean and healthy again. That was me. I'm the former executive director of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater, the group that folk singer Pete Seeger founded in the 60s. And I fought a few battles that remind me a lot of this one, which is kind of why I'm doing this, on the Hudson Valley in New York State. Driving into town, I saw the sign for DeSoto County. It said, Prosperity, Tranquility, Progress. And I've often remarked upon that sign as it's like the motto of the county. And I'm thinking, you know, mining is going to bring none of the above. In fact, it's going to bring the contrary. And I also passed the Our Story billboard. It's a mosaic billboard. It says it's our story. Wait for the next chapter. Here it comes. Well, what's coming, and it's about the rodeo arena. It's there. You know, they're trying to load themselves into the rodeo arena as you know, we're one of you, we're like you, we, you know, this is us, this is our story too. Except for the fact that the mining they're going to do is going to virtually, literally eradicate thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of the very land that created that culture. That's ironic. I'd like to introduce Dennis Mader, the first speaker. He's a founding member and currently executive director of 3PR. What's 3PR? People for Protecting the Peace River. 3Ps by an R. 3PR. Since 3PR was founded in 2007, he's the owner of Rasayana Cove, which is an alternative health retreat on Horse Creek. Horse Creek runs right through the property. So he's got some serious cred here tonight. Dennis, want to come up and give us a talk? Dennis is going to talk about the history of this mine and on phosphate mining and the remarkable history of resistance to phosphate mining in DeSoto County.
Okay, thank you, Andy Maley. I've been in this struggle 2002, so what, 16 years already. Together the slideshow this afternoon, Andy had originally asked me to speak on the history of the mine permit. And I expanded considerably on that because I had just come across a whole trove of information which had been researched by a young woman from University of South Florida who wrote her honors thesis on this, the impact of environmental activism on phosphate mining in Florida, from the Bone Valley to the Gulf Coast, to the Gulf Course, 1911 to 1992. Her name is Leah Holst. This was a 75-page thesis, very thoroughly researched, single-spaced, and with all the footnotes and citations. Most of the material that I'm going to present in this little slideshow is derived from Leah's efforts. So talking about activism, I lifted this picture from, this was from the Tampa Tribune, 1947. This is a delegation from the Lakin Chamber of Commerce boarding a plane before it flew into Tallahassee for a hearing on a controversial bill to require phosphate companies to reclaim their previously mined lands. So we're dealing here with a industry that has been very well entrenched in Florida. Phosphate river pebbles were first discovered right around here, around Arcadia, by a miner by the name of LeBaron. So DeSoto County has already seen its share of phosphate mining. As it turned out, the pebble mining in the river, which was depicted in the first slide I showed you there, is no longer a viable way of mining. It's no longer an economical way of mining. So that's all gone by the boards. What we have now is completely different. But I just want to mention this this particular delegation could very well have been going to Tallahassee to oppose more stringent regulations on the phosphate industry and reclamation, because it's long been an argument of the phosphate industry that reclamation is not an economical activity for the industry. Their business is mining rock and producing ore for phosphate fertilizer. reclamation is something that they probably wouldn't be doing even to this day if there hadn't been many environmentalists and people just like the people that are in this room this evening who come forth and stand up and do the right thing to keep Florida a viable, integrated environment. So as early as 1916, the effects of phosphate mining were already making themselves felt in DeSoto County. This editorial was published in 1916, pleading for discussion of the issues of environmental protection. And I quoted these here in their entirety because they were so quaint. It says, "Let us at once hear from the people of Arcadia, Wauchula, Zolfo, Fort Ogden, and other communities as to whether we shall longer permit ourselves to be imposed upon in this way. The DeSoto Press Association passed a resolution stating it does greatly deplore the pollution of the Peace River by the phosphate mines, and that this pollution was destroying the beauty of the stream, driving away the fish, and thus robbing it of its attraction as a sportsman's paradise. Let it be known that all these risks continue to this day." Now, early phosphate rock and pebble mining in Florida was done in a different way than it is now. These are some photographs taken from that era that show this mine pictured on the left-hand side of the screen is actually a hard rock mine. So this probably took place someplace around Dunellen. They don't mine phosphate that way anymore. It's almost exclusively done here in central Florida, except for some large mines up around in the Suwannee River Valley. But there are new mines that are seeking permits in Union and Bradford counties, just north of Alachua, the Gainesville area. The fight against pollution from phosphate mining in DeSoto goes back to the early 1900s. Early on, a clear pattern was established. Pollution led to public outcry, which led to discussions of legislation and leading to rebuttals from the phosphate industry and its supporters, leading to inaction. So this industry in the beginning was completely unregulated. They could do just about anything they want. In this photograph, you see hydraulic mining. Certain aspects of this exist in modern mining even today, but here they are blasting away at the pit walls with these high-velocity hydraulic water cannons. So this led to problems right off the bat. Water was sprayed at high pressure to widen the mining pits and remove the matrix. This caused overflow material from the mining sites to spread over land until it reached nearby bodies of water. So around 1927, they began to introduce the drag line. So this is a photograph from 1929, Polk County. And you see this drag line. It looks like it's burning number three oil, bunker oil or something, perched up on top of that last little remainder of natural terrain. Around 1929, it was no longer a kind of, they no longer relied on manpower, but rather the concept of these drag lines, which dig about 13 tons of to 16 tons of phosphate with every bite. So in a mine like DeSoto, which they would like to, they give a 14-year life of the mine, they'll have three of these drag lines probably working simultaneously. This gentleman, it turns out, was a very prominent figure in terms of conservation and environmentalism in DeSoto County. I don't know if any of you people here tonight know this name or know anybody in this family. He was an attorney by the name of Rosin, formerly of the DeSoto County Conservation Club. He actually formed this club, Peace River Valley Conservation Club, with the specific purpose of stopping pollution of the river by the phosphate industry. This cartoon appeared from an editorial by M.A. Rosin entitled War on the Peace River, March 26, 1950. In 1950, Peace River resembled a stream of buttermilk from phosphate sludge. Sportsmen and anglers of Hardy, Polk, Charlotte, and DeSoto counties were so frustrated that they circulated petitions and discussed boycotting fertilizers made by the offending industry. Here's a photograph taken from the Tampa Tribune, January 11th, 1950. You can see how, like in those days, it seemed like they were almost perpetually spilling sludge from their waste disposal areas into the river. I think that's one way in which they've improved their production is by, or at least their containment of the clay. We don't see as much of this as we used to, but there is always the danger that during a storm event, the clay and toxic waste disposal sites could breach. We haven't seen so much of that in the past decades, but the fertilizer waste disposal sites are extremely vulnerable And as recently as September 2016, there was a subsidence underneath a phosphogypsum stack outside of Mulberry. In 1950, Rosin and the mayor of Arcadia organized a meeting. 250 people packed into Arcadia Courthouse to hear updates from the State Board of Health on pollution. Rosin and others organized a Peace River Valley Conservation Club with the specific purpose of stopping pollution of the river by the phosphate industry. The new club's ambitions included making pollution an issue in the next gubernatorial campaign and electing someone who would appoint officials uncorrupted by phosphate interest to the Fish and Game Commission. A Bartow woman wrote, "If politics were kept out of this matter and the protests of many people, these concerns could be heard. The responsible people in Tallahassee would take definite and immediate action against the phosphate companies," she wrote. According to this woman, Commissioner L.G. Bruce acknowledged that pollution had been going on for 40 years and stated it was not made an issue until recently. She rebutted that. "People have tried for many years to bring this matter into the open, but yet, as yet, haven't gotten any results." So people, this is our opportunity to make sure that these matters are brought into the open. I'm not saying that phosphate mining is as destructive as it was in these opening in the first half of the 20th century, but it is still, there's a huge potential for accidents. And everything they do involves massive, massive amounts of chemicals used in the beneficiation process and stored in the clay disposal areas on site. Most recently, DeSoto County activists derailed the CMI project, which was a combined phosphate mine. I think there was a generation plant involved in this proposal. This was as recent as 1999. The water use permit was challenged based on the mine's drawdown of the superficial aquifer, and the court denied surface water permit. Subsequently, the industry's legal representatives, Holland and Knight, prevailed on the Southwest Florida Management District to roll back the requirement for water surface permit, preempting any future mining cessation on those grounds. So this is rather typical of the mining industry. They work within the regulatory agencies of the state. They provide most of the data that these decisions are based on. This kind of brought us up to, I was going to say, my family moved to Florida from Chicago in 1946. And when I saw this photograph on the internet, I was reminded of what Mulberry looked like in those days. How bleak it was. There's the old mulberry tree in front of the station. In those days, really, there were no scrubbers in the stacks of the processing plants, and that whole region around Mulberry was covered in a toxic dust. Happily, that's not happening anymore. This is one of the memories I had from my childhood. This is a place called Sand Mountain. It was just basically a whole pile of sand that they had separated in their beneficiation process and stacked up outside of Fort Meade. It became a kind of recreation site. Later, they developed a process for extracting more phosphate rock from this mountain, and they reduced it down to nothing again. And I was just going to mention one other thing. In my own life, the turning point came when I happened to be living in Canada at the time, and I was living in a community there where they had a history of uranium mining. So I had done a lot of research at that particular time on the effects of low-level radiation. And all the material I found led me back to my old hometown in Lakeland, Florida, because the mining process reveals the natural occurring radionuclides that exist in the soil. And they remove the overburden from that soil. And as it goes through the concentration process, it concentrates the radioactive, naturally occurring radioactive radionuclides, isotopes. So there is a danger of low-level radioactive exposure in phosphate mining and in fertilizer production in general. I don't know if you can see it in this picture, but this frog has five legs. It has three hind legs. This is a result. I saw this, and that was kind of the turning point for me. But once you see some kind of freak of nature at that level, you never really recover from it. There were friends of mine who lived near an old phosphate pit, and they were exploring there one afternoon, and they started finding these mutant frogs. So it's not an altogether uncommon thing. These are found around other sites where there's extreme pollution from chemicals. And there's also then certain parasites that cause this kind of deformity in frogs. All right, so this is what we're looking at today. This map we developed, it shows in the red all the mines that were where the mining took place after mandatory reclamation was established. Down here at the bottom is the DeSoto mine. So you could regard this, if this like was human tissue, you could regard this as a cancer. It's a growing cancer too. And this would be like scar tissue, because you'll never see natural conditions of the soil in this region again. The brown mines are those mines for which they're seeking permits. Here's Hardy County, here's the Peace River, and this is the proposed DeSoto mine. I just think, you know, I once had a colleague, a guy by the name of Jim Cooper. We talked about the phosphate mining industry. He said, you know, it's like this guy who never took a bath in his life. He never took a bath. And then finally, one day, he started taking like one shower a week. And that's kind of where we are at with the phosphate mining industry, I think, now. It's not like they're as bad as they were back in the beginning of the 20th century, but it's still an extremely pernicious industry. And I think that to open the door like that to an industry like phosphate mining in DeSoto County is not an advisable thing. I think they will transform this county into something that won't even be recognizable 30 years from now in terms of its natural environment. So I urge all of you to stay on the case and to join us. Stay tuned, keep in touch with us, and I think that we can make our place in history by turning these people around. Thank you very much.